feeling is not much to go on.
Sometimes a feeling, Mr. Spock, is all we humans have to go on.
Captain, you almost make me believe in luck.
Why, Mr. Spock? You almost make me believe in miracles.
Spock and Captain Kirk and the TV show Star Trek turn 50 years old this year. And here in Seattle, the EMP Museum is looking into some of the show's more timeless themes with a new exhibit called Star Trek Exploring New Worlds. The curator, Brooks Peck, says the exhibit challenges visitors with some of the same ethical dilemmas faced by the crew of the Enterprise.
We have a number of touchscreen interactives that I call away team encounters. And they pose interesting moral or ethical dilemmas to our visitors, the kinds of dilemmas that you encountered on Star Trek or that the crews encountered on Star Trek. Things about when it's right to interfere with another civilization or not. And so it asks visitors these questions, and they can choose what they think is the right thing to do. And then it shows them a number of examples from Star Trek about the different ways this question has been approached. What I hope happens is that people will then engage a little more in some of those heavier questions that Star Trek was so often grappling with. And certainly, looking back to the original series, it's the episodes we remember the most now are the ones that grappled with interesting issues.
What are you thinking of?
Well, look at Plato's Children. That had one of the first interracial kisses on television, where Shatner and Nichelle Nichols kiss. And at the time, it's hard to realize it now. It's hard to sort of put ourselves in that mindset now, which is a very good thing. But at the time, this was an incredibly big deal. And the networks were nervous and the censors were nervous. And everyone was taking a big step. Or another episode that in the original series that tackles race in a very theatrical way. It was called Let This Be Your Last Battlefield. And there are these aliens, right? And these aliens are either black on one side of their face or white and white on the other side of their face, or it's reversed. They're black on the other side and white on the first side. And they hate each other because of that difference. It's a way that Gene Roddenberry, the series creator, just was able in a science fiction way to point out how ridiculous this is that we're having all these race issues at that time in the mid-60s, a huge part of what was happening with the cultural shifts back then.
So how do those racial controversies and boundary pushing, how does that apply to us today in Seattle?
Well, I think these days we need Star Trek more than ever. One of the things I like to talk about is the technology in Star Trek, okay? It's very utopian. It's very futuristic. There's all these cool tools that do these amazing things. And one of those tools is their phaser. It's their weapon. It's this pistol. And yes, when there's some kind of, you know, crazy monster, they can shoot it and kill it. But the phaser has this stun setting. A phaser can just knock someone unconscious without any harm to them. What if we had a weapon like that today? Think of the problems that could be avoided with all these unnecessary shootings that are happening. It would be fantastic. So even the weapons in Star Trek had a certain... were a way of looking at how we can make ourselves a better society.
As you know, Star Trek could be challenging, could be boundary pushing. We mentioned the first interracial kiss, mm-hmm. et cetera. Is the exhibition making us think still?
I would like to say yes. I mentioned those interactives, the away team encounters. One of them has to do with this alien species called Trills. Now, Trills are symbiotic. So they have a host body, which looks like a person, and then they have a symbiote, which is like a worm about the size of a loaf of bread, and it lives in the stomach of the host. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What this means is the host body can die, but the symbiote can move on to a new body. So from an outsider's point of view, this person can completely change their body, can change their appearance, can change their gender. And this is a way that Star Trek, through that science fictional lens, approaches issues of same-sex relationships and transgender, which is incredibly relevant today and I think is something a lot of people are having to think about and may or may not make them uncomfortable. And so in the exhibit, we ask them, hey, what if you fell in love with someone, deeply in love with someone, and then The next day, they were in a different body, perhaps with a different gender. What would you do? We're asking people to really decide, is love entirely based on what's on the inside, or does physical appearance and attraction play, how much of a role does it play for them?
We think of ourselves as in a, we're kind of in a little progressive bubble mm-hmm. in Seattle, and mm-hmm. maybe happily so, mm-hmm. depends who you are. Do you think that the ideas in Star Trek would have challenged our ideas of ourselves as progressive?
There's a thing in Star Trek called the Prime Directive, and the Prime Directive is a rule that says don't interfere with societies that are less technologically advanced than we are. And back in the 60s, even that was an easy definition. No one questioned, oh, how do you measure if someone is more or less technologically advanced? It was just obvious to them. Now I think that's in of itself problematic. But at its core, it's about foreign policy, right? It's about, is it right for one culture who thinks they know a better way to live to step in and impose those ideas on others or suggest it? Over and over again in Star Trek, you see this issue being played out and relating to today's world, because it's easy enough to say, yeah, don't interfere with other folks. But sometimes those folks on other worlds, those aliens, have a resource that's very useful that people in Star Trek want. So then things start to get a little fuzzy. Certainly, again, it's something that's playing out today in the world theater constantly.
Do you find Seattle to be a hot spot for science fiction? I think of it that way.
As far as I can tell, Seattle is...
In the Pacific Northwest?
I think Seattle and the Pacific Northwest is just chock full of people interested in science fiction, and they come at it from different directions. There are fans who just love the stories, love the shows, the movies, what have you. And there are a lot of people who overtly or covertly are obsessed with creating the future through what they do and what they develop.
Now that's interesting, yeah. We have a lot of de facto futurists buzzing around working here.
And there's this generation of entrepreneurs and technologists who grew up on Star Trek, and many of them will say very directly, oh, yeah, that was a huge influence on me. Someone like Jeff Bezos or Paul Allen, Nathan Myhrvold.
Can you see how Star Trek influence Bezos or Allen or Myhrvold?
Well, is there a billionaire in this town who doesn't have a rocket company and isn't trying to get to space? It's like they're having their own little space race of their own. But also Seattle, well, more and more it looks like the future in this city as they keep building these glass towers. I always feel like I'm living in the future out here.
Brooks Peck is the curator of Star Trek, Exploring New Worlds, and you can see more of that EMP exhibit at our website, KUOW.org.